Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coppin. Well, my next guest tonight is one of the most successful singer-songwriters in Australia, Chicago. It's an honor to welcome Casey Chambers to the air.
If we had a child, people would come from far and near. Even strangers who never knew ya, they'd be singing hallelujah. If we had a boy,
if we had a boy,
we could give him a family name. He'd be sweeter than sugar cane. He'd be braver than Jesse James. We could raise him down where the river meets the sea. I would ride that baby boy while I hold him close till they bury us both and he marries someone like me. Talk of the town, ain't nobody ever gonna believe you. Everybody come and gather round. If we had a girl,
if we had a girl,
she could make a sunshine through the rain. She could make a fire without a flame. Not even doctors could explain. We could raise her up down where the river is running through.
Chambers was just in Chicago playing Thalia Hall. She's touring the States on her brand new record, Dragonfly, which was actually a double album. Everything Chambers touches pretty much in her home country of Australia pretty much goes platinum. The country singer is one of the best-selling artists of her generation. She's known to American audiences as well, touring with artists like Lucinda Williams and for some of her music ending up on TV shows like The Sopranos. Casey Chambers has put out 11 LPs in her career, and she's been playing music professionally since the age of 9. And she is in studio tonight. She's brought her guitar. Casey Chambers, welcome to The Download. We appreciate being here.
Oh, thank you so much. I just love it when you guys say The Sopranos, because we would just say The Sopranos. Yeah. It sounds much cooler when you say it than when I do.
No, it sounds much more Chicago when it's Sopranos.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Speaking of Chicago, I mean, you've been through here plenty of times in your career. Talk about how special it is to come to Chicago when you tour the States.
I love it. It's amazing. I mean, look, it's kind of even just like the idea of getting to play in Chicago is just cool in itself. Like, not even thinking about the actual gigs when you're here are always amazing, and I've gotten to play in so many incredible venues here in town. But I kind of like just being able to go home and just say, hey, I played in Chicago. That's the best part.
That's the best part.
It's awesome, you know.
It's interesting because, you know, you're on tour right now, and this tour is pretty jam-packed. Just looking at the lineup, I mean, you're every day, and if it's not every day, it's every other day.
Yeah.
Talk about the idea of, is that the only way to really be able to tour the States as an Australian musician, to cram as much as you can into as little a time as possible?
It really is. And you know what? It's a pretty long flight, let's face it. So if you're going to come over here, if you're going to sit on that plane to fly from Sydney straight to LA is like 13 hours in itself.
Right.
And then often we have another flight on it as well. Sometimes we fly straight to Dallas. They fly straight from Sydney to Dallas now. And it's like 16, 17 hours sitting on a plane. So trust me, if you're going to do that, you want to make sure you're packing in as many gigs as you possibly can. But I do love it over here. I mean, I grew up on all the music that comes from America. So I just love being able to come here and steal you guys' music and then pretend that it's my own and then sell it back to you. You're so nice to buy it still.
That's a business plan. That's a good business plan.
It really, and I mean, when I go back to Australia, I just tell them it's mine. Yeah. I don't tell them I stole it off you guys. I just tell them it's all mine. Yeah, well, I made this up.
As I said in the lead, I mean, you've been playing music, you know, since the age of 9. You've been playing in bands. You come from a music family. What does that mean to you when I say come from a music family?
I mean, I guess that's why, part of the reason that music is such a big part of my life and my whole family's life, I had a really really kind of unusual upbringing where when I was about 3 weeks old, my dad packed up the whole family and moved us into our car and then took us out to the most remote area in the whole of Australia, like way, way into the middle of the outback in Australia, this place called the Nullarbor Plain. And it really is just like nothing. There's like red dirt, salt bush,
wow,
few wild animals, that's it. And we lived there in our car for the next 10 years of my life while my dad became a professional fox hunter. Yeah, how crazy. I know, it's so weird. Everyone's looking at me like we're the weirdest people in the... I know, and no, that's how people, even in Australia, when I tell them that story, they look at me like that as well. It's pretty strange, but... It was just in such a remote area. We had no TV, no radio, nothing like that. So our only form of entertainment was my dad would bring out the guitar. We'd sit around the campfire and we'd play pretty much mostly American country songs. Like my dad would play as Hank Williams and Graham and Emmy Lou and Johnny Cash, Mel Haggard, that sort of thing. So that was the only thing that I was really exposed to when I was a kid, was all of this American music. So in a weird way, I feel really at home being here in America from a music point of view, because that is
the sound that I
grew up with and was such a big part of my life. And because I didn't really have any other touch with civilization, I didn't hear any other music except dad liked.
I think about that isolation, that feel. I would assume being someone who's attracted to music as it's part of that, something that you really treasure, being in an isolated situation, that you understand it more, you pay attention to it more, you're more disciplined in learning it. Was some of that maybe playing out in the sense that you weren't exposed or in a strange way distracted by other things?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, I didn't grow up with, you know, particularly what my kids are growing up with these days. You know, I have three kids and their ages range quite a bit. So it's 15, 9 and 5. And there are so many distractions in their lives right now.
Yeah, right.
And, I mean, they're living a fairly normal kind of life, I guess, of what normal kids do.
Right.
I mean, apart from they travel a bit with me on the road. But, you know, they go to a normal public school and they have their iPods and iPads and, you know, it's just so different. And mine was different again from even the...
Yeah, to your generation, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Even to what most kids were growing up with in the 70s.
When was it in that childhood that you recognized that you wanted to do this? This was your passion. This is what you wanted to do.
I started playing music when I was about 9 in a family band, and we started traveling all around Australia and playing in, you know, smoky pubs and
what kind of music?
That sort of thing. We played some originals, but a lot of it was like Creedence covers and Eagles and, you know, all of the good music that we could get away with covering and keeping an audience happy, you know. So it's kind of like that combination. Then we'd throw in an original every now and then. And then I started discovering music as well on the pop charts. So I started covering like Cyndi Lauper and the Bangles and all of that sort of thing in the band as well. So that was kind of weird. But I was also doing like Emmylou Harris covers at the same time. And then in my sort of mid-teens, my dad took me to see Roseanne Cash in concert. And I had listened to a bit of her music and obviously Johnny Cash and that sort of thing. But there was this lady on the show that I had never heard of before. And she walked out and started singing. And I was just like, my whole life changed from that moment on. And it was Lucinda Williams, who we'd never heard of at the time, and this is, you know, quite a long time ago.
Right.
And I had just never heard... I'd never heard a voice sound like that. I mean, obviously her voice is just so unique, and that was amazing. But I'd also... I don't think I'd ever really heard a female put her heart on her sleeve in songs like Lucinda did. Most of my biggest influence as a female in music then was Emmylou Harris, and she didn't write a lot of her own songs back then. So I'd never really gotten into the songwriting side of things until I saw Lucinda that night, and my life was just changed forever. Yeah.
Kasey Chambers, singer-songwriter, Australian-Americana. her new album is called Dragonfly. It's actually a double album. She was just in Chicago playing at Thalia Hall. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. And then you brought your guitar, and Brandon's here, so we'll hear some music from Kasey Chambers here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. My guest in studio at the big table tonight, singer-songwriter, Australian-Americana artist Kacey Chambers. She just came through Chicago playing Thalia Hall, and she is in the States promoting her new album, Dragonfly, which is actually a double album. You've had a tremendous amount of success with some of your early music. At the crossover, you mentioned Lucinda Williams and getting a chance to tour with her and Emmylou Harris, but also, you know, being featured on The Sopranos. We mentioned that right at the top. That whole thing kind of made you a star in America in the way that people knew your music and gave you an in. And I was thinking maybe we could hear the song that was played on The Sopranos.
So
what's the name of the song?
Well, I'd love to play it to you because it really is still my most favorite song to play. I feel like it's just that song that I feel most at home playing that song on stage or in a situation like this. Or even just jamming or anything. But, yeah, it's the title track of my first album. It's called The Captain.
The Captain. Brandon Dodd also on guitar.
My ground, tell them I won't be.
good. Cool. So good.
Thanks.
That was the song Captain, which amazing to hear it live. Thank you so much for playing it. In studio tonight, Casey Chambers, Brandon Dodd playing on guitar as well. You know, you mentioned that being your first album. To play back, to think about that, to play your first solo record, to play that music, does it change at all having a career after it? I mean, I mentioned 11 albums. Does playing that song bring back the time that you performed it or that you wrote it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do sort of just slip back into 20 years ago, over that actually when I wrote the song. Every night when I play it, I still go back to that same time of when I wrote it, recorded it, and it started becoming such a big song in my life, you know, mm-hmm. not, you know, as far as the listener goes, but just for me
you, right,
personally,
right.
I always go back into that place. And it's funny, you know, one of my favorite gigs that I've ever done in my life was right here in Chicago, and it's the first time I ever heard Joe Pug. He opened up the show for me, and I had never heard him before. And I remember, like, just being so blown away by his music and loving the gig so much. And then I remember particularly just with the audience in the gig that night, playing the Captain was just one of those nights where planets align. And I think of that every night.
Really?
When I sing the Captain. I think
when
of that
when you play
gig,
the Captain, that's, yeah.
And for some reason, it's just in the bridge. When I get to the bridge every time, for some reason, I just think of that night in Chicago and Joe Pug and just music just being such a big part of my life, yeah. And how important that song is to me and how it has given me a chance to connect to so many strangers all around the world.
Yeah,
it's just such an amazing
opportunity. Well, I mean, as a singer-songwriter and doing 11 albums and to be performing since you're 9 years old, it makes me think of the evolution of an artist. And you have created such personal music. I mean, if you listen to the lyrics, I mean, you're putting your heart on your sleeve in a lot of these songs. So when you put a set together and you go back to some of the albums where you were in a different place, different time, exploring different emotions than where you are right now with Dragonfly, do you go back? Do you go back to that emotion? Do you go back to that place when you start strumming the guitar and playing that song?
I totally do. And sometimes I don't want to. I've just started playing a song again, which I haven't played a lot in my whole career, from Barricades and Brick Walls, called Million Tears. And I've just started putting that in the set list, and I don't play that song very often. I always just felt like it was just really revealing and exposing sort of song, and it made me feel a bit uncomfortable. And then just recently, I think just maybe turning 40 and going, we don't care about that anymore. Put it out there.
That's just
put
life.
It out there.
That's life.
That
right?
is life. Exactly. And now I feel a lot more comfortable playing that song, but I still do go back to that place where I feel those same feelings, you know. And it's weird because I don't feel them all the time now. I mean, you know, it's like I guess everyone sort of has these different sides where some days you wake up and you feel like you could take on the whole world and, you know, you feel powerful and strong and all that. And then some days I wake up and I feel not pretty enough. And then that song makes so much sense to me to play that.
Right.
But they're all still in me somewhere. You know, I must be a nightmare to live with. Hence my divorce, probably. Yeah.
That's a different show.
Yeah.
But I mean, there is something to that. I think of, you know, when you're creating music and music that is so personal, you rarely think about the artists, you know, as you express yourself in that moment of what it means to replay those songs and to go on tour and every night to play the same song over and over, you know, have this sort of reflection of who you were at a certain point and where you were.
Yeah, it is. And it's emotionally exhausting sometimes. But it's also, I feel like I am in the perfect job for my personality because I'm a very open person anyway, sometimes a little bit too much, where I don't have a filter and I share a little bit too much on stage. I know that. But I mean, I'm not just like that on stage. I'm kind of like that as a person all the time. if you get stuck in an elevator with me and you're a complete stranger, you're going to know my life story by the end of it. I am sorry
Hopefully
about that.
Hopefully there's a guitar, right? Hopefully there's a guitar. Australian singer-songwriter Casey Chambers is in studio tonight. She just released the album Dragonfly, a double album, and she was just in town playing Thalia Hall. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll get an update on tonight's news. We'll come back, and we'll hear some more music in studio and continue the conversation with Casey Chambers. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio tonight, Australian singer-songwriter Casey Chambers. She was just in town playing Thalia Hall, and she had just released an album, Dragonfly, double album. You've had such success, to see how the music that you've produced and played in Australia in your home country has just been so wildly accepted. I mean, you've had success in the Billboard charts there. You've been able to really be a voice for a generation there, and it's great. And to be able to come here and tour that music and continue to, what's it mean to you to have the success you've had in your home country and then go out on the road and play every night in a different town, a different place, and like you're back in your 20s?
I seriously still have to pinch myself sometimes to see if it's real, because when I first started playing music, I actually didn't even kind of have I didn't have that driving ambition to be successful in music. I kind of just thought, okay, music is something that I'm always going to do. Mm-hmm. But given the sort of music I play, particularly in Australia, because back then it was not, very common for people to play that music, particularly women in Australia. It was a little bit, there was a bit more of that kind of edgy alt country kind of thing.
Right.
For guys to play, but there weren't a whole lot of girls playing it back then as well. And I just kind of went, okay, well, that's all right. I just play this style of music and I'm probably going to have a day job my whole life and just play music on the side. So the fact that I haven't had to get that day job yet is crazy. I'm so stoked. It's amazing.
That's great. When you talk about that kind of music, what draws you? I mean, you talked about your upbringing and the ability to listen to Hank Williams and even Lucinda Williams, seeing her live when you were younger. But what keeps you evolving as an alt country or an Americana artist? What is it about staying in that genre and not switching it up and trying something else?
I listen to a lot of different styles of music, particularly with having three kids that have the age ranges that they do. There's a bit of everything going on in our house. But I always come back to that style of music that I guess is about a feeling and about a story. And it's not always about a story in lyrics, although a lot of, the music that I started out listening to, country music, obviously, mm-hmm. is a lot about stories in lyrics. But even since then, it's kind of, it's widened a lot,
yeah.
particularly with Americana music now, where it is just about telling a story within a feeling. And I love connecting with people. I love connecting with people on a really raw kind of level. I don't ever want it to be about, big lighting shows and, fireworks going off
right,
on stage.
Right.
And I find those sort of things quite a distraction.
Sure.
Storytellers.
Distraction at your kind of show.
I think so.
A light show.
Yeah. Wow. Right. There's fireworks coming out of her guitar.
Lasers.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And, like I said, I like a lot of different styles of music, but for me to communicate best with an audience and people just in general, I like doing it through a real kind of feeling and, just being based around being real with people. That's what I like. I think Americana music kind of suits that.
You mentioned communication and you can, even hearing The Captain, the emotion that comes out of it. You've had triumph after triumph when it comes to your music, and you've sort of faced or at least stared tragedy in the face when you had vocal surgery and what was going to happen with you, and there was a thought that this is not a place where you necessarily want to have surgery since this is how you communicate, this is how you even evoke the feeling.
Yeah.
So talk about that moment of being in a space where you're going to have surgery on your vocal cords and what you're going to do in that moment.
Well, I honestly didn't allow myself to go to a place where it freaked me out and I got really scared about it because I don't really have any other skills. So I don't know what I would have ended up doing. So I kind of just had to go, yeah, it's going to be fine. And to be honest, I'd had nodules for 20 years. Yeah. And I had gotten to a point where I couldn't get through one gig. So I actually, there was no other choice. So
and what would happen? I mean, when you say you couldn't get through a gig, you just go hoarse?
Yeah, I just like, I mean, I had to kind of, I played for a lot of years where I would end up, depending on where the gig was in the week, you know, if we were at gig number four, all the keys had to come down of the songs and I'd have to drop a lot of songs as well. There's certain songs that I just couldn't do and... it was frustrating as much as anything because I knew in my head how I wanted to sing and perform and I just couldn't do that. And then I would spend my days not talking and as you can tell, I like a bit of a chat. So that actually was more frustrating than the gig, not being able to talk. That drove me mad. But it was a lot of stress as well when you're out on tour and constantly just thinking about, am I going to get through this gig? Am I going to get through this gig? And often, you know, I totally believe in what you fear you create, you know, and I'd start making my voice worse because I'd stress so much and all my stress would go to my voice.
I mean, I mean, people think about, you know, especially when you see the volume of your tours. I mean, the idea of going play it show to show to show, and knowing how you sing and how you perform. I mean, it's a big undertaking. So to have that surgery and to come out of it and for it to be successful, what's it mean to you that you were able to be in that moment where possibly you would have to lose the way you communicate, and for you to now have, I don't know, be a situation where you don't take it for granted?
It honestly changed my life. I feel like I, not just musically, but my whole outlook on life in general has changed since that moment, and I feel like a new person. And I really, I wrote this song, which I'll play for you soon if you like, called "Ain't No Little Girl," and I wrote it a few years ago before I had surgery. And I never, ever thought of the song. I just went, oh, okay, there's a song, and I put it aside, never played it to anyone, never thought it would end up on a record or anything. And I just didn't even really think of it as a special song. You know, sometimes you just know that it just connects. And usually I do. Usually I think I know when something is really special. But this one, just didn't think any more of it. And then I went through the surgery, went through some hard times in my personal life and started growing into this song. And I really feel like this song was writing me rather than the other way around.
Yeah.
And I started connecting with this song and then went through the surgery. And straight after the surgery, the first gig back that I did, after having vocal surgery, I put this song in the set list and it's been in there ever since. And I feel like it is the most important song I've written for myself in my entire life. And when I first wrote it, I was like, oh, whatever, it's just a song. And now I feel like it is part of who I am and it's part of why I am who I am now. And it's sort of... it helped me get to this point. Yeah. And so the song's, it's pretty special.
Well, let's hear
me.
It. Let's hear it. Casey Chambers in studio, the Australian singer-songwriter, Brandon Dodd on guitar. Here is the track is Ain't No Little Girl.
It is, yeah.
There we go.
Just like a child, you've made a happier man. You made look easy to leave me behind. Your curse and a breath, and your curse and a lie. and leave it alone. You won't take me down easy, but I ain't made of stone. Well, a lesson is learned, and a lesson is lost. Well, I ain't afraid to stand and give a damn and take it like a man. But I ain't no little girl. No, I ain't no little girl. I won't cry, I won't beg, I won't plead, I won't pray, I won't ask you to stay. No, I ain't no little girl. No, I ain't no little girl. I won't break, I won't bend, I won't win, I won't end up with nothing to say.
That's the song Ain't No Little Girl. In studio, Australian singer-songwriter Casey Chambers. She was just in Chicago at Thalia Hall. You're on your way. I mean, you know, you are – the tour is the tour. I mean, you're this is – we've been talking about the tour. I mean, one of the things about it is you are away from your family for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, this idea that every night you're doing a show, and it's great to be involved in the passion. But, yeah. You know, the idea of – you talked about your three kids. What's it mean – that, you know, you got a break coming up in the tour and you're going to be reunited with your family.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm actually not usually away from my kids for very long because they come on tour with me a lot in Australia. And in Australia, we tour like, you know, 5 days or something and then back and do another area. But over here, obviously, we've got to come over for a bit longer.
Because of flights, right?
And this is the longest trip that, the longest tour that we have done, since before I had kids, actually. Yeah, so we put a little break in the middle so
I
could
go. How does it feel? I mean, for this to be the longest, how does it feel to you?
Yeah.
I mean, is it different? Is it strange? Is there any different emotion that comes out of the tour continuing and continuing and continuing?
It's awesome. I love it. I mean, the thing is, you know, it is hard to be away from your family for a certain amount of time. We put a little break in the middle so I could go home and they could I could catch up with them. And then I pick my favorite and bring that one back. depends who's behaved themselves that week because, you know, we can only have one flight,
of course.
One extra flight. So, but it's, I mean, look, I am honestly living the dream right now. I feel so lucky. I am over 40. I'm like 41-year-old woman in the music industry who gets to tour all around the world. Plus, I get to have a family and take them with me on a lot of that and share my whole family with it. My dad's in my band. My mum sells the merchandise. My brother is my manager. I have my best friends on the road in my band as well. And I'm literally living the dream.
In a strange way, if you think about the story you told about your childhood and living out of a car for 10 years, here you are in a bus. You're doing the same thing.
You know what? Circle. The bus is much more comfortable than that Toyota Land Cruiser, let me tell you. Yeah, it's heaps better. Well, and I get a hot shower now. We didn't get any hot showers on the other board.
Well, we're very lucky that you get to share your passion with us. Kacey Chambers is the singer-songwriter from Australia who just came through Chicago. She played Thalia Hall, and she is currently touring the United States on her record Dragonfly, which is actually a double album. Kacey Chambers, thanks so much for being my guest on The Download tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Am I not pretty enough? Is my heart too broken? Do I cry too much? Am I too outspoken? Don't I make you laugh? Should I try?